My eyes fell today and also yesterday on this precious word in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 41 from verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. You all know Jacob. The name Jacob says it all, trickster. And he wrestled with the Lord and won the victory. And the Lord God goes back to Abraham, whom he called out of Ur in Chaldea, and sent him to a land he did not know. Here is one of his descendants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And the Lord God says here, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. How Abraham must have pleased God for the Lord to give such a powerful testimony. Seed of Abraham, my friend. The Lord says in the Gospel of John, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And then he says, a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but a friend does know. And he says, maybe I should read it, for I see some unbelief in the faces. I don't always know where the scriptures are either. For me too, the time comes when I no longer remember things. In any case, it is, yes, John 15, verse 12, and then mainly 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now notice the next verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Blank spot. These things I command you, that ye love one another. This is a wonderful word, a profound word, a precious word. Here the Lord expresses what election means to him. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have made all things known to you. God has withheld nothing from us. Did the Lord not say to his disciples at that time, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Who were these people he was addressing? Those whom he had chosen. And he says here, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. ye are my friends. Not only Abraham, but all the elect, the whole seed of Abraham. We are called by God his friends, as his confidants, as people to whom he has communicated, with whom he has exchanged secrets, people to whom he can entrust something. Earthly, I have already said it a few times, the time is over when friends are still friends and brothers are still brothers. But among the elect, the word of God should still be valid, and a brother is a brother and remains a brother. A friend is and remains a friend. Nothing changes in that respect. Where things change is with people, but not with God and with those whom God has chosen through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. That is also part of it. The Lord is Lord. He commands, and he has to decide. We have to obey and do what he said. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. How must the disciples have felt about this? When the Lord said to them from mouth to ear, henceforth I call you not servants, ye are my friends. Yes, the Lord is saying the same thing to you and me tonight. We are not servants. We are not enslaved or oppressed by statutes and dogmas, but people who have been set free, purchased with blood, pardoned by God. He has become our friend, has taken our side, so that we can become his friends and take his side. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. But I have called you friends, for all things I have made known unto you. This is the proof of divine friendship in the lives of believers. If we are friends of God, then he has made known to us all that he has promised for us in his plan of salvation, and has revealed it to us. By this, the disciples should recognize that they are his friends, because he has made known all things to them. Now I ask you, what does God think about those to whom he has revealed before millions and billions? What does God think about the handful in this generation who listen to what he has said? If he could shout down here loud and clear, he would say, today I address this word to all of you. Ye are my friends. You have come and you have heard everything I have had to say. We must understand that. This legitimizes election. Many can say, I am chosen. And then comes the question, have you listened to everything the Lord has spoken and proclaimed? Here he does not say, you have chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And then, but rather I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Divine revelation of the deepest mysteries of the counsel of our God. And this has been granted to us in this time. Abraham knew what God had planned for him. He gave him the promise. And every person to whom God really spoke also believed God. Those who only heard from God, that is another matter. But all those to whom God really spoke, whom God addressed, he also had something to say to them. And they became his friends, and thus confirmed that they believed what he had said and were God's elect. Here, in the word of the prophet Isaiah, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob." Not just Israel, my servant, thou, Jacob. He was both. He was Israel. He was Jacob. He was a prince of God and also a trickster. He was both. God did not ignore all this. God took note of it all. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob." God has not forgotten all this. He remembered how Jacob tricked. And then later he was tricked. But God had chosen him for the sake of Abraham and Isaac, for these were the ways of God. And he says here, "Whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." This is something marvelous. Abraham was one of God's chosen ones. God spoke to Abraham. God gave Abraham promises, and he believed before he saw anything and went out and did not know where he was going. But God knew where, and that was enough. He was obedient. And you all know that Martin Luther, for example, didn't like reading the letter of James at all. He couldn't come to terms with the fact that James said, "Faith without works is dead in itself." He, as a man who was ordained by God to preach justification by faith alone, he was unable to classify the works, because he saw the works, in his view, coming from traditions. God did not mean my works and your works, but the works of faith as with Abraham. What works did Abraham do? He laid Isaac upon the altar when God demanded it of him. And then James writes, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" And for Luther, it was a hard nut to crack. He closed the book and read no further and could not come to terms with it. We can deal with it because we do not approach the matter with a mind, but with a heart. Not your works and my works. Jesus, our Lord, said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." And he said, "I do not do the works, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." So, not your works and not mine, but the works of Christ must and will be able to be revealed in our lives, and must also be revealed. Well, Abraham, a friend of God, Jacob, a seed of the friend of God, whom the Lord hath chosen. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Even in the Old Testament, God's right hand of salvation was not just judgment and condemnation, but salvation and grace. As God said to Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God was gracious to all those whom He chose and called to be His people. And this has not changed to this day. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. How often did the Lord utter these words when He was on earth? Fear not. And then He spoke again and again to His own. Here, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Beloved, let's be very honest with our hands on our hearts. If we actually saw our Lord walking alongside us, who and what would we still fear? If He walked with us at every turn, who and what would we still fear? If the Lord of life and death, who conquered the devil in hell and rose from the dead on the third day, ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the majesty of God, if we knew that He was with us, I believe we would walk without fear. Is it true or not? Yes. But do you know what is real? That He has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. And He knew full well that we need Him most at the end of the world. Of all times, this is the epoch in which we need God the most. Let us also allow this word to speak to us and believe it. Whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. Have we not often read the word from the prophet Isaiah 51? Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father. What was it? To whom did God speak? Who did God choose? To whom did God reveal Himself? It was the people to whom He spoke and who received His words. Here all God's people are called to look to the rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Our Lord is the eternal rock. And then here, look unto Abraham, your father. What is it? Abraham, the father of faith, the friend of God, the one to whom God made known what He had to communicate and say. And here it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can we believe this? That the Lord upholds us and is with us by grace. You all know, I could read you, that Abraham previously served other gods, and that God spoke to him, and that he then believed in the only true God. And the God who spoke to him was with him, and he had nothing to fear. The same Lord who spoke to us is also with us, and we also have nothing to fear. But through faith, we want to honor God with all our hearts and offer him the thanks we owe him this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you for your word, Lord, through which you have spoken to us. Also this evening, Lord, you have continued to speak to us, as you did at the weekend. So also tonight, Lord, you have spoken in the same way, Lord, and brought election before us, O Lord. What would it profit us if we only saw that you chose Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, if we did not see that you also chose us in these days, in this time, Lord? O faithful God, we give you heartfelt thanks for your grace, for your calling, Lord, for your election, Lord. We thank you for your precious and holy word, which you have given us by grace, Lord. O Lord, what shall we say to you? We also bring you the prayer requests, Lord. All those who have written, Lord, may you grant grace. You know what it's all about, Lord. You know the need, Lord. You know everything, Lord. But we ask you, Lord, you are able to deliver. You are able to heal. You are able to do everything, Lord. Therefore, we come to you with these prayer requests, Lord, and ask you, help everyone, Lord. Then we are helped. Bless all, Lord. Then they are blessed. We worship you and praise your marvelous and glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.